today on Real Radio.
You remove the resurrection from Jesus Christ out of the Bible. You disprove that and you've destroyed the Bible. Everything that is perfect about the Bible hinges on one thing. Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. Well, we've arrived at the last chapter of this epistle, chapter 13, and the apostle is offering up some closing remarks to the reader, including the fact that the Holy Spirit is, quote, in the regenerated believer. And that is indeed some good news. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called, Is Jesus Christ in You?
Jesus says, regarding church operations, I'm in the midst. And as Christians, we are to be engaging one another in love. And that love sometimes means a big hug. It sometimes means a handshake. And it sometimes means, you know what, brother or sister, you ought not to be talking like that or doing those things or living like that. And I'm coming to you in love because Jesus says that we should engage one another. And I want to issue this because I love you. And I haven't told anybody about it. And I'll pray for you. But man, I'm just telling you because, man, these are the last days. The world's gone nuts. Jesus could come back today. And so get right with the Lord. If that person says, you're an idiot, stay out of my life, you nincompoop. Then you go get a godly brother or sister and you deal with it. He has given us the power to engage. The apostle is now engaging the Corinthians. Are you with me? He is a holy, godly man. We need to be holy and godly, not only in the fun stuff, not only the stuff that's favorable, but with humility, carefully and prayerfully, we also need to engage and the things that are not so pleasant. We need this more than ever. A very serious thing. Secondly, under this point, the power has been given to us to convince. He says in verses 3 and 4, since you seek a proof, you got to circle the word proof, evidence. If you seek confirmation of Christ speaking in me, you guys want to get some evidence that Christ has been speaking in me, says the apostle. Who, by the way, is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. That is, God is at work in you, Corinthians. So think for a moment. For though he was crucified in weakness, that's Jesus, yet he lives by the power of God. What is Paul saying? He's saying this. Don't be fooled by judging things by human understanding, by the way you humanly perceive things. Why? Did not Jesus, church, listen, did not Jesus look weak? The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that he had no beauty or no form of comeliness that we should even desire him. Did you know that? Does that kind of shock you? Isaiah the prophet prophesied that the Messiah would have no physically attractive attributes when he would come, that he was a very common-looking person. If Jesus were to walk by today in board shorts and a t-shirt going to the beach, you would never know that he was somebody special out of Hollywood or Madison Avenue by his beautiful appearance. He was a very common-looking person. Not only was a common-looking person, the Bible announces to us that in his life, in his lifestyle, in his beatings, in his torture, in his crucifixion, Jesus looked extremely weak. I want you to let that settle in right now in your mind for a second. Consider what's going on in the world right now. Fear, intimidation, terror, loud, boisterous evil. The power of God appears to humans as the exact opposite. Quiet, obedient, the Bible says Jesus was to the point of death, the death of the cross. He looked weak to an unbelieving world. When you look at Jesus in your heart, in your mind's eye on the cross, do you see him as weak? As a believer, I don't see him as weak. I see God on the cross in all of his splendor and all of his glory. I expect God to be seated upon his throne. That's wonderful. I don't expect God to be upon the throne of his cross, crushing death, destroying my sins. God enthroned on the cross. To the unbeliever, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. It's silly. It's ignorant. It's a display of weakness. Why? They're unbelievers. But to the Christian, there on that hill in Calvary, God was paying my debt in all of his glory and power, a debt that I could never pay. He was doing for me what not only I could not do for me, but not one bit of all humanity put together could not do for me. An angel couldn't die for me. A good man couldn't have died for me. It was God Almighty dying for me at his cross. And the decision for us today, do we embrace that weakness, understanding that it's just a veil? That's just a veil, because beyond the veil of that apparent weakness is the greatest, glorious power of God. And I'm convinced. Listen, I would have to die at the stake. I would have to be beheaded. I would have to be mutilated. I could not deny that. I may lie if I did it. In a moment of weakness, like Peter, if I denied Jesus, it would be that I would be sinning. Let me say that now. If I were to ever be tortured to the point of caving in, and I say, I give up. Just know this in advance. On this day, on this pulpit, on this Sunday, I announced that I would be sinning against the truth, because even if I deny him, he's faithful still. Amen. He is still God. He is still the Lord. He has still saved me at the cross. And he died for me. I'm convinced of it. I didn't talk myself into it. He has shown it to me to be true. He was crucified in weakness, looking weak, but yet he lives by the power of God. The Bible says that God, the Holy Spirit, raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says in John 10, 17, therefore my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, Jesus said. I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to raise it up again. This command I received from my Father. That is an awesome declaration. In light of this, by the way, I want to just cut to the chase on here. There's nothing like the Bible in all of the world. You know that. There's nothing like it. There is no other historically accurate book. There's no other scientifically consistent book. There's no culturally relevant book. There's no archaeologically dependable book. Humanly, there's no more beneficial book than the Bible. But let's be honest. As accurate as it is in all those areas, you remove the resurrection from Jesus Christ out of the Bible. You disprove that and you've destroyed the Bible. Everything that is perfect about the Bible hinges on one thing. Did Jesus Christ rise from the dead? If he didn't rise from the dead, then the Bible is over. You can burn it. You can use it for an anchor to your boat. It's done. As accurate as it is in all of those areas, it's human genius. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, as it said he would, and as it says he did, then everything changes. In Romans 1:16, the Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says Paul to the Romans. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek, or for the Chinohillians. Really? He was crucified in weakness, but he lives. Jesus rose again from the dead. Thirdly, under this point, that Jesus Christ is in you, that means his power is in you, and that power is in us to endure. He says there, verse 4, for we also are weak in him, think of it, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. This is an awesome statement. Church, look at us. Look at you. Turn to the person next to you. Just look at them for a second. Go ahead. They won't bite. Look. You didn't know they were sitting there, did you? Look at them. The Bible here, Paul says, and I agree with them, Paul says, look at us. Are we not weak? You want to talk about Jesus? He looked weak on the cross, but he was raised by the power of God from the grave? Well, why don't you look at yourselves? He says, Corinthians, look at you. Corinthians, look at me. Chino Hillians, look at us. In all of your glory and splendor this morning and beauty, you look fantastic. You look marvelous. The truth is, you're weak. I see some weightlifters out here this morning. And that's okay. The Bible says that physical exercise profits a little. That's okay. It's true, it does say that. But spiritual strength's the great thing to have. But look, as strong as you, I don't care. You bench 500 pounds, you're weak. Oh yeah, well how much can you bench press? I wouldn't even attempt it because I don't want to make you feel bad. Feel bad for me as you're trying to get the bar off my neck. No, listen, it doesn't matter how strong you are, you're weak. You're weak because when it comes from being raised from the dead and forgiven of your sins, you're weak. I'm weak. But as a believer in Christ, oh, everything changes now. I'm strong, you see. You're strong. Oh, I can bench 500 pounds. Yeah, really? You're still a sinner. You may be a little 98-pound weakling, but your sin's being forgiven. You are mighty in God. Listen, be careful how you judge things and appear to look at things and conclude. God's given us the power to endure. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, listen to this, dwells in you, is Jesus Christ in you and is the Holy Spirit in you? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. He's speaking about the moment of resurrection. That is awesome. Do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you? 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Point two, we look at this, verses 5-6, is that is Jesus Christ in you, then his faith, let me explain this, then his faith is in you. Obviously, what I do not mean is faith that Jesus had faith. Jesus didn't have to necessarily exercise faith like we do. Okay, even in his humanity. Think of this. He did and he didn't. It's a complicated question and argument. When I say his faith, I'm talking about the faith. Look, I'm talking about the faith that is found from Genesis to Revelation in his word to us. This is what he has given. Psalm 40, Hebrews tells us as well that in the volume of the book, it is written of me. The Bible is about the Messiah, the Christ. Who is the Christ? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus. And so, when we talk about his faith, we're talking about the faith that he requires of us to believe. And this is very serious, what he announces here. Church, don't miss this. This is a tremendous, tremendous argument. Look at verse 5. We're talking about real faith. Real faith, church, mark it, is experiential. Please write this down. Experiential. Now look, you guys, I might get some flack from people who are not listening to what I'm about to say. I personally believe, I have a tendency, I want to be doctrinally accurate in all ways. But we can make a mistake by being so careful about it, about being doctrinally accurate, that we become, in a sense, so careful that we, what's the old saying? You become so right that you become dead right. Now let me explain that. When I use this term experiential, I believe, listen, if Jesus Christ is in you, then his faith that he requires of you to be a believer is a doctrinally accurate faith. Someone say amen. It's true. Not false doctrine, true doctrine. If that's true, then you're going to have real faith operating in your life. I believe because my God lives, he rose again from the grave, and those who were there that Sunday morning, experienced the joys of his resurrection. They experienced the angelic manifestations taking place. They experienced on the day of Pentecost the coming of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? I do not believe that you can be a Christian and not have an experiential relationship with God. I don't believe that's possible. How can the God of the universe be indwelling in your life and you don't know it? Are you kidding me? No, it's experiential. Now, Pastor, be careful now, because you can get into strange and goofy areas. I'm not talking about being goofy and strange. I'm talking about the fact of the reality that the Bible says that those who have salvation know it. The Bible says these things, and we'll read it in a moment. In 1 John, these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. If I didn't know for sure regarding my eternal salvation, I would resign this post today. I'd go back into the world to make money. Literally. If I'm up here because I'm trying to sell something, or it makes me feel good, or I have some perverse hunger to stand in front of people, then I'm a lunatic at best. But if Jesus Christ rose again from the grave, and if he changed my life these last 37 and a half years, then I would proclaim today that neither death nor life, nor any principality or power, things created, things from heaven or earth, could take that away from me. If you can't experience God in your life and be able to say that the Christian faith is experiential, if you can't say that, then I suggest you leave today while you still have time to get to the bars before they close and drink yourself into oblivion, and maybe I'll be right next to you if this ain't true. We would definitely proclaim, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But if it's true, you see, it changes everything. And so, have you experienced him? The word examine yourself here is exactly based on that word. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. This word means this, the acid test. It's what the assayer does at the gold office, where they pour acid on precious metals to see if it can take the test. The acid test, we would use it. The word means to have the desire to endeavor or to continue on. It means to be scrutinized and to go about. It means to look up one side and down the other. That's what the Corinthians were doing to Paul, by the way. They were criticizing him by examining him. Paul's not afraid of it. It means to confirm the reality of a statement. Church, everyone you know, everyone I know should be able to look at me, look at you up one side and down the other, and still conclude we're Christians. There's no escaping this. The Bible says, examine yourselves. Paul is telling them, look, you've been examining me. You've been criticizing me. You've been attacking me. Hey, Corinthians, I have a wild concept. You examine yourself. Do you hear him? Do you hear him? You're pointing your finger at me? Stop. The one who led you to Christ, you discredit my ministry and my apostleship? Why don't you examine yourself? Look in the mirror. Get alone with God. Open the Bible. Look inside yourself. Ask yourself some questions. Are you for real? That's what he's saying. Have you experienced Christ? In Psalm 139, the psalmist, King David, mentions the same thing from Psalm 139, 23. He says, search me, O God. You ever hear that? Of course. He's inviting God in. And know my heart. He's saying to God, look inside of me. Try me. That's his word of saying, I'm asking you to discover or to uncover anything in me. And know my anxieties is the word in Hebrew. It means, where am I not trusting you, God? Things that I worry about and I'm not committing to you. Know my anxieties, Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me, anything unpleasing that I'm tolerating in my life, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. Oh, man, that's the Christian's life. Please listen. Are you guys listening? I'm pumped up because you know what? This is serious stuff. This is not church today. This is life. If today you're sitting and you go, yeah, whatever, I'll catch you next week. Look, here's the thing. You've got to know if you're a Christian or not. Well, my wife's a Christian. She's going and you're not. Well, my grandmother's a Christian. God bless her. I'll see her in heaven. I'll send her your regards. But are you going to go? Don't look to somebody else. As I've said before, I say it again. God has children. He has no grandchildren. No one comes in on your coattails. Do you know him? Have you experienced him? Examine yourself. I can't do it for you. You cannot do it for me. The real Christian with real faith gets alone ask God questions. Am I for real? How am I doing, God? Can you send me a report card, a progress report on our relationship, Jesus? Ladies and gentlemen, church family, if you forget everything I say, don't forget this. Ask him. Get alone. Turn off the phone. Throw out the iPad. Turn off the TV. Get away from family and friends and enemies, in-laws and outlaws alike. Get alone and say, oh God in heaven, how are we doing? If you are not doing that, then you are quite possibly being deceived by the busyness of life and the noise. C.S. Lewis writes in Screwtape Letters, keep it noisy. Satan's the author of noise. The verse makes a grand assumption. Number one, you can know that you're saved and going to heaven. Number two, you can at any time check your spiritual progress. Number three, you can make any corrections necessary as needed. God will speak to you. That's what that verse implies. And he says as to whether you are in the faith. Three verses, very quickly. Here's proof to confirm your relationship with God. Are you guys ready? Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. Romans 8, 16. The spirit himself, Holy Spirit, bears witness with our human spirit, the born again us, that we are children of God. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, you're my child. This news is getting more important as the days get worse, ladies and gentlemen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called, Is Jesus Christ in You? It's a look at the first 8 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 of this New Testament letter. Again, Is Jesus Christ in You is the title, and it's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. We'll continue with more of Is Jesus Christ in You on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, in recent weeks, we broke from our regular study and spent some time in a series called Politics and Your Faith. Many of our Real Radio listeners took advantage of our special offer at the time to get your hands on that CD series. Now, in this election year filled with political posturing, how is it that we are to select our leaders from a biblical Judeo-Christian perspective? Are there guiding principles we see in Scripture? Well, we wanted to let you know about a message by Pastor Jack delivered just a couple weeks ago called Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World. Pastor Jack truly believes that the church is to fulfill our proper calling to be a biblical influence for righteousness in these last days. Now, you can watch this critical and timely message by Pastor Jack by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then simply click on The Christian in This World. It's a must-see message for every American, particularly the American believer. Now, maybe you'd like to share it with a friend. If that's the case, we are going to make this DVD of Pastor Jack's message available for a gift of any amount to the Real Life Ministry. We just want you to watch it and share it with the people you know and love. So visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, to hear Pastor Jack's message called Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World. Or again, if you're requesting the message on DVD, mention it by name, Understanding Where You Belong, the Christian in This World, or very simply, the Christian in This World, when you call or write. Our address is Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. That's Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our phone number, if you should ever need it, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.